yesterday's attacks on another place.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Relations between Russia and the West have been on a downward spiral over the past years. Some even go so far as to say that a second Cold War is very much ongoing between the two sides. The latest episode, which has escalated tensions to a new level, is the high-profile poisoning case of a former Russian spy and his daughter in Britain. It has triggered an all-out diplomatic war unseen over the past decades. Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia were poisoned by an unidentified nerve agent in the English city of Salisbury on March 4th. Britain was unusually quick to point the finger of blame at Russia.
The government has concluded that it is highly likely that Russia was responsible for the act against Sergei and Yulia Skripal.
Britain is accusing Moscow of using a rare and highly toxic Soviet-era nerve agent known as Novichok to assassinate Skripal. Following the attack, Britain launched an all-out campaign to pressure Russia without providing any evidence to back up its allegations against Moscow. Alternative voices, even inside the UK, urged the British government to provide credible evidence before taking measures against the Russian Federation.
The Prime Minister said on Monday, either this was a direct act by the Russian state, or the Russian government lost control of their potentially catastrophically damaging nerve agent and allowed it to get in the hands of others. Our response must be both decisive and proportionate and based on clear evidence.
Frankly, as far as Skripal goes, I don't think there's much smoke there at all. I think the explanations that have been given so far are highly suspicious, and all the evidence that I've seen is against the likelihood that the Russians had anything to do with it. And frankly, I think this is like so many other things we've seen, for example, like the accusations against the Syrian government on chemical weapons use based on no evidence whatsoever.
All such calls, however, fell on deaf ears. The government of Prime Minister Theresa May expelled dozens of Russian diplomats and encouraged its NATO allies to do the same without waiting for any probe into the attack. Russia's repeated offers of cooperation into the Skripal case and its calls on the UK to allow Russian experts to take part in the investigation were dismissed offhandedly. Some observers argue Russia would never use a military-grade nerve agent that is easily traceable to it to assassinate a former double agent. Skripal was regarded as an unimportant figure who no longer had information valuable to intelligence agencies. The former double agent was part of a spy swap deal between the United States and Russia in 2010. Some observers say Britain was not trying to establish the truth from the very beginning, because if it was, it would have followed standard procedure.
There is a procedure under international law. The conventions on the prevention of chemical warfare say that they're supposed to hand their samples over, both to the Russians if they're accusing them, and to the labs of the Office for the Prevention of Chemical Warfare itself. And she rushed before she'd even done that.
London instead used the case as a pretext to raise tensions with Russia and try to push Moscow into isolation.
That is exactly what the British government, supported by the United States and other governments, are doing, which maybe leads one to the conclusion that really has nothing to do with the Skripal case, that this is a planned provocation. It is a planned scuttling of bilateral relations, a form of political warfare against Russia.
Britain insists it has shared intelligence about the Salisbury attack with its allies. London has based its anti-Russia campaign on intelligence provided by its secret services. But critics of the UK foreign policy say Britain's decision to take hostile measures based on intelligence rings a familiar bell. The situation is reminiscent of the run-up to the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Then the US and British governments said intelligence showed former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction that could be deployed within 45 minutes. They used the quote, irrefutable intel, to justify launching the bloody invasion that wreaked havoc on Iraq and impacted the whole region.
On Tuesday night, I gave the order for British forces to take part in military action in Iraq. Tonight, British servicemen and women are engaged from air, land and sea. Their mission? To remove Saddam Hussein from power and disarm Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction.
But it soon dawned on the world that the claims about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction were a big lie. The much-hyped WMDs were never found in Iraq. Later, investigations revealed major blunders by Britain's spy agencies that produced the flawed information. It was also revealed that the UK government knew the intel was dubious, but used it to make the case for invasion. Meanwhile, the British government and intelligence agencies are accused of silencing voices that exposed their Iraq war plots. David Kelly was a British bioweapons expert and an authority on biological warfare. He worked for the British Ministry of Defense. Kelly was among the scientists who consulted the UK government on Iraq's WMD program. Kelly believed the British government exaggerated the threat posed by Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. Without doing so, the UK government would not have been able to convince the British public and make the case to attack Iraq. Later in 2003, Kelly shot into the media spotlight after he was identified as the source for a BBC report that cast doubt on the government's claims about Saddam's arsenal. On July 15, 2003, Kelly was grilled by Foreign Affairs Select Committee. Just 2 days later, the 59-year-old goes out for a walk but never returns. His body was found in woods close to his residence in Southmore, Oxfordshire. Suicide was announced as the cause of death. The official narrative is that he cut his left wrist with an old knife. But many experts, researchers, politicians, and even ordinary people have disputed the official account.
You don't bleed to death from cutting the ulnar artery in your wrist. That, as a surgeon, many surgeons will tell you, doesn't happen. That's what was said to have happened to Dr. Kelly. The other thing which hasn't changed is there's still no inquest.
Police had conducted a series of tests on items found with Dr. Kelly's body, and they'd searched for fingerprints and DNA evidence, and they'd found that in fact there were no fingerprints on any of the items found with his body. Personal items like his glasses, his wallet, keys, his watch. None of these things had any fingerprints on them.
There are still so many unanswered questions about the circumstances of Kelly's death. Among those who reject the official narrative of what really happened is Norman Baker, former Liberal Democrat lawmaker.
The knife which he was supposed to have used, we never saw it. It was never produced at the Hutton inquiry, but were led to believe it was a knife he'd owned since boyhood. It was a sort of gardening knife with a lip on it. It was also a blunt knife. It was the most curious weapon to use if you were out to try and kill yourself. We're told that he cut the ulnar artery. The ulnar artery, for those who aren't medically qualified, and I wasn't and still not, but I've learned about the ulnar artery, is in your hand here. It is only accessed by cutting nerves and tendons. It would have been particularly painful to have cut through nerves and tendons to get to this artery, particularly using the knife which I've just described.
New revelations show former British Prime Minister Tony Blair blocked a coroner's inquest into David Kelly's death within minutes of hearing about it. Over the years since the mysterious death, the British government and spy agencies have been widely accused of being behind Kelly's death. Campaigners are still calling for an inquest to be opened, but there is strong government opposition to that. In October last year, the weapons expert's body was removed and secretly cremated to prevent any exhumation by people who strongly believe he was murdered. The mysterious death and the shocking lack of transparency by the government turned into a major scandal that still haunts Britain. Critics say the case of Dr. Kelly over a decade ago and now Sergei Skripal's story reveal how the British establishment is either failing or does not want to carry out proper investigations. Such instances have seriously dented Britain's credibility.